I doubt kids from other schools would be like, I want to go to Hogwarts. Like, I don't know. They'd probably say, oh, I want to go to the one in, like, Paris. Duh.
It's got Dumbledore. It's the best wizarding institution in the world.
Yeah.
There's a giant squid.
A giant squid.
It's got Snape.
Come to Hogwarts. We have Severus Snape.
Just imagining, like, his face on, like, a brochure for Hogwarts. Just, like, Snape standing in front of the castle with welcoming arms.
Come, children. Come and learn. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Chapter 35. Veritas Forum. With special guest, Ryan Thompson.
I mean, it's a horrifying moment when Dumbledore opens the trunk and you see the emaciated form of Alistair Moody in this deep pit, but I just think it's kind of an almost amusing image. Dumbledore climbs into the trunk, lowers himself, falls lightly on the floor, and then, you know, examines the unconscious Moody, and then clambers out of the trunk again, which I find that kind of amusing to imagine.
It said it was 10 feet deep, so it's funny that he just, like, lightly, like, steps in and just drops, and then he scrambles back out.
I laughed at the same exact thing, and it's funny because, like, Dumbledore's always just seems so perfectly graceful in everything he does, and, like, he always just does stuff by magic, you know, and you'd think he would just, like, I don't know, ACO the body out of the trunk or something, but instead, nope, he just awkwardly just climbs in and drops down 10 feet and then just, like, shimmies his way back up.
And just Harry, I don't know, peers over as...
And then he doesn't even get Moody out immediately. Yeah. He just, like, Harry, throw me down the cloak. Throw me down a cloak and we'll just put this blanket around him and then we'll just close back the trunk and get him later.
He says he's not in any immediate danger. He'll be fine.
And, like, I think next time we see him, like, I want to say Harry looks over when he's in the hospital wing and sees the real Moody sitting there. So off screen, I guess, like, Madame Pomfrey has to climb down there and haul him out.
Speaking of Dumbledore's grace and power, Harry's about to be killed by Barty Crouch Jr. Gasp! But then there's a blinding flash of red light, stupefy, and fake Moody was thrown backwards onto the office floor, and Dumbledore, Snape, McGonagall burst in.
At that moment, Harry fully understood for the first time why people said Dumbledore was the only wizard Voldemort had ever feared. The look upon Dumbledore's face as he stared down at the unconscious form of Mad-Eye Moody was more terrible than Harry could ever have imagined. There was no benign smile upon Dumbledore's face, no twinkle in his eyes behind the spectacles. There was cold fury in every line of the ancient face, a sense of power radiated from Dumbledore as though he were giving off a burning heat.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was something.
Very, very dramatic. It's a powerful image.
I like that passage because she says, like, Dumbledore's face a lot. Like, the look upon Dumbledore's face. And then there was no benign smile upon Dumbledore's face. Every line of the ancient face. I don't know. There's a lot of face action.
We want as much about his face as we can get.
Well, I guess we know that he had the messed up nose and the twinkling eyes, but not much more about the face until now. We didn't know that he could be so furious.
As if he were gentle when Harry returned and is carrying a dead body, but there's no anger or confusion there, just his same twinkle until this very moment when he busts in and he's not benign anymore.
He also, after Harry lets go of Cedric's body finally,
Dumbledore bent down and with extraordinary strength for a man so old and thin raised Harry from the ground and set him on his feet.
That's also kind of funny that he just apparently has superhuman strength when he wants to.
I also just don't know why he did that. Like, Harry is, like, on a broken leg and is injured and in shock and is, like, crying on the ground, and Dumbledore's like, nope, on your feet, Harry. I don't understand why he just had to pick him up.
Maybe he was worried that people would say, Cedric Diggory, oh my gosh, he's dead, and Harry Potter is he dead? I can't really tell. He's just lying there.
Is Harry dead? He's just lying there holding Cedric still. He won't let go. But is he dead?
I'll never let go, Cedric. I'll never let go.
That was sweet. Harry's still holding on to him, and he says,
he wanted me to bring him back. He wanted me to bring him back to his parents. It seemed very important to explain this.
Aww.
Because at the end of the day, Harry Potter is all about family togetherness.
Ohana means family, Dumbledore. I couldn't leave him behind.
Nobody gets left behind in a graveyard.
In the same scene where, you know, Dumbledore walks in badass mode with his hard lines on his face because he's serious. Then, like...
hard lines. Because the guy with a lot of lines on his face, when he gets really mad, that's even more cool.
Two paragraphs later, after Dumbledore bursting in, then, you know, McGonagall's like saying, okay, Harry, let's take you to the hospital wing. And then we got Dumbledore.
He will stay, Minerva, because he needs to understand. Understanding is the first step to acceptance, and only with acceptance can there be recovery. And
fear
recovery
leads to anger. Anger leads to hate.
Recovery leads to suffering.
Just right there with the aphorism ready to go. Thanks, Dumbledore. Just understanding is the first step to acceptance. Only with acceptance can there be recovery.
Fame's a fickle friend, Harry.
I wonder if Dumbledore... I mean, these are probably just, like, his little philosophies. And even in a moment of, like, great trauma, he's like, well, gotta teach Minerva a lesson. Good old Minerva needs to learn about understanding and why Harry has to stay.
Hey guys, you know what I really like in this chapter?
What?
A lot of things, but the one I want to mention right now is the faux glass.
Yes.
Yeah, faux glass.
It's kind of like a cool little foreshadowing thing. Like, there are blurry shapes in the faux glass, and then there are somewhat more distinct shapes in the faux glass, and then there's Dumbledore, McGonagall, and Snape in the faux glass, and then they're there.
In conjunction with Harry keeps noticing the faux glass, he also keeps noticing, like, where Moody's looking. Because Moody has the magical eye, and, like, or fake Moody, I should say, Barty Crouch Jr. If he was on top of his shit, he would, like, notice them coming, because he totally has the ability to do that. But he's so distracted because he's just, you know, on a high right now because his plan was finally completed, that, you know, both of his eyes are staring intently at Harry, and Harry keeps noticing this and knowing that, like, oh, Moody doesn't know what's going on because he's looking at me and not looking at faux glass.
I thought about that, like what you just said, like all the things that Barty Crouch Jr. could have done in this chapter to be successful, and like, now that you say that, that makes sense. But then I think, like, so if he would have, like, somehow noticed, like, them, or so he's gonna bust out of the office and, like, risk dueling with Dumbledore, Snape, and Minerva for, like, how would that have even gone well?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, he had probably already messed up. I'd say the mistake he made was leading Harry away from the field. At that point, Dumbledore knew something was wrong. He could have played it cool before that. Had he just, like, let it go and not needed to interrogate Harry right away, he could have probably played it off and Dumbledore might have never known who the spy was.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, just how, like, Dumbledore, like, I can just imagine Dumbledore, like, dealing with all of this, like, a dead student, whatever, and then, like, noticing that Moody led Harry off and just have to, like, ignore that Cedric just died to track Moody back up to his office because he knew that that was, like, really, 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 really wrong, or, like, something that the real Moody just was totally uncharacteristic. But just, like, to be Dumbledore in that moment to, like, I don't know, like, oh shit, like, stuff's been going wrong all year, kind of, and then, like, now this, like, my student is dead, and then my other student, Harry, you know, more so a student, it's Harry Potter, is gone, and so I have to follow him. Like, I don't know.
You have students, and then you have Harry Potter.
He's like, oh, hold on, Amos, I'll be right back. Just don't go anywhere.
your son's already dead. Don't worry. It's he's not getting any deader. Do not pity the dead, Amos. Pity the living.
And most of all, pity the fool who just took Harry Potter away from my sight.
That's Dumbledore, actually. Pity the fool.
Not Mr. T.
No, not Mr. Tom.
I don't say that.
So he's talking to the Diggories, Amos, and the unmentioned wife who is there, but just never really a character. He's talking to them, and then all of a sudden he has to run away from them. Does he, like, whistle to Snape and McGonagall to come with him, or do they just, like, see him running away? And it's like, we gotta be with Dumbledore now.
Yeah, it's like Snape and McGonagall. Like, I wonder how sad, I don't know, like, Professor Flitwick felt. Like, just, like all these people are leaving, and then, aww, like, not you, Flitwick, like, you're the dueling champion, but, like, I need McGonagall and Severus.
Dumbledore is known for giving second chances and for trusting people who no one else trusts, like Snape and Hagrid. But when it comes to Flitwick, he's not sure about that guy.
Yeah.
So how about Winky?
I love Winky, except, like, poor Winky. Master is behaving badly.
Yeah.
Is she wasted in this chapter? Do we know?
I didn't even think about it.
They're magically bound.
I mean, there had to have been, because, I mean, the only reason that I think that he could somewhat justify, like, after months of a squeaky winky drunkenly telling you to, like,
let him go to the game.
After months of a squeaky winky.
also like where Professor Dumbledore gives the instructions like,
Severus, please fetch the strongest truth potion you possess and then go down to the kitchens and bring up the house elf called Winky. Minerva, kindly go to Hagrid's house where you will find a large black dog sitting in the pumpkin patch. Take the dog up to my office. Tell him I will be with him shortly. Then come back here.
And then like there's this little sentence afterward that makes you like realize you're reading like this book where all of this would be strange. And it says,
if either Snape or McGonagall found these instructions peculiar, they hid their confusion.
I don't know, just like, because when I was reading it just now, I was like, of course, yeah, that's what they did, whatever, like, that makes sense. And then it's just, I don't know, like, reading it for the first time, like, oh, he wants him to go get Sirius and, like, a truth potion, but we don't know what he's going to do with it yet. Like, how peculiar.
It's an example of just, like, how awesome Dumbledore is, that, like, he just, like, busted in the door and had to get this fake Moody guy out of the way. And then immediately he's just like, okay, we need Winky up here to be with the Barty Crouch Jr. And then also, like, somehow as all this is going on in his mind, he also just, like, thinks to remember Sirius and know that he's going to need Sirius to talk to Harry later. His level of, like, multitasking in his mind is kind of insane, that he can manage all of this and, like, delegate efficiently.
Yeah.
He's got his whole shopping list basically planned out. Meanwhile, Moody can't even think to look at his faux glass or not drag Harry away from the scene of the
yeah,
maze.
Yeah, no, I didn't think about that. That's a really good contrast there, how much fake Moody is just, like, in the moment where he's just, he can't move his eye. That's all he needs to do is just, like, glance over to the faux glass, and he can't do that.
Well, he's very excited. He just won. I mean, from his perspective, like, he's still, like, stoked about, like, I'm gonna be the Dark Lord's most faithful servant. I'll be rewarded beyond my wildest dreams. That's gonna be awesome. But he's not even really thinking practically anymore about how that's all gonna play out, because he's basically like, it all worked. We did it. He's back. That's all that matters. Yeah, it would have been probably better if he had thought, I can just run away now. We can worry about killing Harry Potter later.
He probably should have had a getaway portkey in case something went wrong.
Or unless Voldemort just wanted him to remain fake Moody for as long as possible.
I mean, I feel like once the plot came to light, Dumbledore would have looked around and eventually figured it out.
Yeah.
I feel like the sensible thing for Moody to have done would have just been to, like, ditch out of there immediately. He might have been able to stay on for a little bit, but Dumbledore would have investigated and figured it out pretty quick, I feel like. He would have remembered who put the cup in the maze and known that Moody was the last to touch it.
Yeah, I don't know what was, like, Barty Crouch's plan for, like, killing Harry. Like, if he's just gonna kill Harry in, like, Moody's office, like, great, you killed Harry. Like, we all know that wouldn't have worked because of reasons, but I don't know how he, like, okay, I killed him and then now I take him to Voldemort. This just seems like so weird to me, because obviously we know that Voldemort would not have wanted Barty Crouch to kill him because he knew the prophecy or like the snippet of it, but I don't know how like Barty Crouch thought that would just be like an okay thing, like, okay, well, he failed to kill you, so I'm gonna better the Dark Lord and kill you.
Yeah, that's dumb. If he had gotten away with it and then he had returned to Voldemort would have been like, wait, no, what are you, that's not what I wanted.
But not that Harry would have like died, but just if like that situation happened with any other one of Voldemort's like tasks, like, oh yeah, I want to do this special thing, like, will you bring this person or bring this object to me so I can handle it in the way that I see fit, and then like Barty Crouch is like, no, you're dumb, Avada Kedavra, and then comes back, and then Voldemort's like, you're stupid.
He's showing initiative. He's just going above and beyond. He's just one step ahead.
One step ahead of Voldemort.
In Barty Crouch Jr.'s elation, as he is describing, you know, this glorious thing he has pulled off, he's talking about Voldemort and how he's going to go back and he'll be honored above all the other Death Eaters. He says,
I will be his dearest, his closest supporter, closer than a son.
Ooh.
That just grosses me out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's weird, but it's also kind of sad, because you realize that, like, after all of this stuff that Barty Crouch Jr. has done, he is still looking for a father figure because his own dad sucked. And he's looking for that father figure in Voldemort, of all people. And it's really messed up.
I don't even know what that word, like, what is closer than a son, whatever. But, like, just how Barty Crouch would be like, I want to be familial to you, even though you killed all of your family. I've killed all of my, like, or have partaken in the death of mine, at least. How he would, like, seek family, like, I don't know how either of them would want to seek family out of, like, trying to separate themselves from family, and for Voldemort being, like, inherently just, like, not a part of a family.
I feel like none of Voldemort's followers really get him. None of them really understand him. Like, for instance, the thing we were just saying about what if Moody had killed Harry. I mean, none of Voldemort's followers know why Harry Potter is important. I mean, they have their own particular reasons for thinking, thinking, oh, Harry Potter, he's the one who brought about the death of the Dark Lord earlier, so we should take care of that and make him an example, and blah, 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 blah. But they don't really understand the whole thing with the prophecy and how important that is to Voldemort. And it's the same thing with, like, Barty Crouch thinks that he can be closer to Voldemort than a son, which just seems to me like a complete misunderstanding of what Voldemort is about.
Yeah.
The only person who really gets him is Dumbledore.
Aww.
That's why he fears him. I don't know. I'd like to think someone like McNair knows a lot about Voldemort.
Yeah, you know, McNair. McNair and Voldemort. McNair is his only true friend, you know? I mean, he's not that useful. He's not very good at magic, but when Voldemort needs to talk, he goes to McNair.
I mean, Wormtail knows way more than he ever wanted to about Voldemort. But they just have, like, this mutual disgust thing going on, which is, like, that's pretty deep. It's not nice. It's not anything either of them wanted, but they're very close.
It's like a functioning marriage.
Should have ran to Romania.
Romania.
Albania.
Place that, like, Joe likes to bring in, and so I just like to drop it as, like, oh yeah, Romania, where it's great for wizards, and...
That's where the dragons are.
Peter Pettigrew can play with the dragons, and...
It's true.
They, even, like, the Welsh Green is in Romania, it's not even Wales.
Norbert, the Norwegian Ridgeback, they send him to Romania.
Yeah. Voldemort hiding out in Italy, you know, like, I don't know, just, like, she, like, exoticized
it. Voldemort went to Cuba.
Little fetus Voldemort with his Cuban cigar in Castro's mansion.
So how about Mrs. Crouch? I was thinking about her a lot when I was reading this, and I was like, they just kind of make her seem like this woman who, I don't know, she just, like, has no say in anything. Like, she loved me and my dad didn't, but he loved her, so that's why he would agree to... for her and I to swap bodies. And, like, I don't know, that just seems so...
Well, that wasn't the whole... that wasn't the end game. That was just something they sort of needed to do. And I don't know if either of them were very happy about it.
It was so they could swap places, ultimately.
Yeah. But, yeah. So she could help him sneak out of Azkaban. But that was a weird part of it, where I was like, that probably was no fun for either of them.
I just feel bad for her because she gets, like, no say at all. Like, and then she kind of dies there, and they also stage her death. Like, I don't, like, there's no, like, heroic moment for Mrs. Crouch for, like, being selfless or, like, getting her say into it. Like, he doesn't even say, like, oh, my mother is so great for, like, doing this.
Yeah, that is weird. Like, you know, I haven't really thought much about her either, because the text just glosses over her so much. But, I mean, you know, she totally enables this kid's escape from Azkaban, which ends up enabling the Dark Lord's return. And it's all because this woman just, like, really loved her son in a crazy, or not a crazy way, but just, like, you know, she loved her goddamn son and she wanted him to live. So she went to Azkaban in his place, and it led to terrible things, but, you know, she just loved her son.
The moral of the story is, don't love your son.
I think that's kind of shitty to be like, I love my murderer, terrible person son who is a Nazi, basically, and I want him to live at all costs, even though...
I want him to not be tortured to death in the most inhumane prison ever devised. I fault her absolutely not at all for wanting to get her son out of Azkaban.
She's not thinking ahead. She's just thinking, he has to live because he's my son and I love him very much. And it's like, well, it's not all about you, Mrs. Crouch. No offense, but this is about the rest of the world not, you know, not wanting Voldemort to come back and not wanting the Death Eaters to go free.
It's not as though Mrs. Crouch knew that getting her son out of Azkaban meant Voldemort would come back.
What did she think was going to, she was going to get him out, and then she was just like, my husband can just keep him under the Imperius curse forever, or my husband who hates this kid and who put him in jail, he'll just, what does she think is going to happen?
I mean, she got her murderous son out of Azkaban. Like, she totally enabled anything that would have happened after.
It was unclear what he did to get sent to Azkaban. Like, he supposedly aided in the torture of the Longbottoms, but to what extent he was actually involved, if at all, we don't really know. Because, like, Barty Crouch Jr. was just like, oh, you were there, you were part of the group, you're going to Azkaban. Like, he just kind of threw him in without...
Right.
It's unclear to what extent he was actually ever even guilty.
He was a Death Eater before, though. That's why Voldemort knew about him being still a faithful Death Eater.
He definitely did, you know, sign up for the Death Eater Club, but to what extent he ever, like, actually did anything wrong other than just, you know, putting his name down.
If he was Voldemort's most loyal servant.
There's a difference between being a murderer and being a Nazi.
What's your guys' favorite phrase of the week? Mine is...
Grizzled gray hair was withdrawing into the scalp.
Mine was...
Watched the map.
That's a full, complete sentence. Watched the map. Oh, wait, no.
He became a bone.
Yes.
What happened to the bone?
Speaking of the map, how and why does Harry get to keep it after this? Because Barty Crouch Jr. tells Dumbledore, McGonagall, and Snape are all standing right there, and he tells them that there is a map, this magical map of Harry Potter's. And then assumedly, like, the map is just with Crouch or, like, with his stuff, and yet in the fifth book, Harry has it again.
I think that must happen in the next chapter or something.
Yeah, that has to. He has to somehow get it back in the next chapter.
Though you would think Dumbledore would...
Right, wouldn't one of those teachers step in at this point and be like, hey, as a security measure, can we use this map? Or can you not have this map because it's aiding you in being out of bounds all the time, you know?
Well, yeah, and that it was just used by a murderer to murder people.
Snape especially. Like, if anyone does not want Harry to have that map anymore, it's Snape. Snape has been after that map, like, since the Marauders made it. And
yeah, you think Snape would have definitely a say out of the three of them to be like, hey, like, what are we going to do about this map?
I guess we'll look for that in the next chapter, but I don't actually think so. I'm pretty sure it's just glossed over and Harry just has it in the fifth book.
I believe there's a bit of Meta Joe data where she says that it's not explained, but Harry just sort of slipped quietly into Moody's office and stole it. What more is there to say?
Veritaserum.
'Twas a good chapter.
Veritaserum.
I love that, like, Dumbledore asked Snape for his strongest truth serum, but, like, didn't think that that would just obviously be Veritaserum.
Yeah, that seems a little weird. Like, surely Dumbledore knows it's Veritaserum. Yeah. Why did he say, get me a truth potion?
Maybe he doesn't know that Snape has any Veritaserum.
Well, yeah.
So it's like, know. Yeah, if all you got is the off-brand, then that'll do, probably.
Why does Snape, if he's such, like, he's the potion's master, why does he ever not just brew the most powerful of the thing? Why is he just like, oh, this one's Veritaserum, and then this one is like, it works some of the time, but it's okay. Like, what use is that?
Well, he doesn't always have unlimited time and resources.
I guess.
He's a busy man, Snape.
He's got a lot of children to intimidate.
A lot of loving to do.
Veritaserum.
Ryan and can be Ryaned on YouTube on his Ryan at mfan09, that is youtube.com/emmfan09. You can also Ryan at his Ryan Twitter at Ryad, that is RYEDTH. At twitter.com/swoon. When you punish some Ryan for dreaming his Ryan, don't expect Ryan to thank or forgive you. The best ever death Ryan band out of Ryan will in time both outpace and outlive you. Hail Ryan, la da 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 da. I have overstayed my welcome. I am sorry. Good night. STDHDFHWFW.